Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Most quotable movie ever?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw.
Did you get the hat that we got a free bowl of soup with?
Stop it.
Where's the hat?
He kept it!
Hey! Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. From NBC Sports, Peter King. Senior writer for The Athletic, Nicole Auerbach. Coming up, Baseball Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Baseball Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez slated to call in any moment now, and we will take his phone call when he connects. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. If you couldn't even get the sense that football's back, all you need to do is just watch the first 2 hours, consume the first 2 hours of this program. It has just been a poppin' all day long, and we still haven't heard from the league independent judge on Deshaun Watson yet. I mean, the Browns training camp is open. He's taken reps. And we still haven't heard a thing yet. So I guess we'll all sit here and wait to know what the answer is. And, you know, we've been hearing conversations about full year suspension and no suspension. I already said no suspension would be a disaster for everyone involved. And to me, I guess the most impactful suspension would be a half to three quarters of a season. Because the Browns would then not be able to get a full season-long answer if that's something that they were interested in. And that Watson would return at some point during the middle of the season, and that would not be, or the end of the season, and that might not be as good for the Browns if anything else, because he might be rusty. Obviously, I'll take a rusty Deshaun Watson, I guess, over a backup any day of the week. I don't know. There is no answer to this question except where's the ruling? I can't believe that has yet to be decided. Meanwhile, you've got DK Metcalf situation unresolved, Deebo Samuel's situation unresolved. A lot of unresolved scenarios going on right here. Top story of the day is involving Kyler Murray and the revelation yesterday that there is a clause in his contract requiring him to study independently 4 hours a week of game day week, which is nuts that there is a situation where a team is willing to generationally enrich a quarterback while they don't trust him to be fully prepared for a game on his own. I have never heard of something like that before. I do not know how that is going to work itself out this season. The only way that I think it will work itself out this season, and I hope this is the case for Arizona, is that Kyler Murray hears this. At some point, he will be made available to the media, and he will bristle. And he will be, I don't understand why it's in there. I am a fully involved quarterback in the NFL. I am fully involved in everything going on, and I will show it to you. And he will try and dominate the league this year because of it. I hope it has lit a fire. Because I've never heard of something like that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Love this guy. Love everything he says on television when he opens his mouth. Makes me smarter every time I hear him. And he's one of the all-time greats. 18 years in Major League Baseball. Here to talk about his buddy, who's now in the Baseball Hall of Fame with him, is the great Pedro Martinez. How you been, Pedro?
Great. A lot of fun this weekend, Rich. I had a great opportunity to T. David, feel proud, embrace the fan base once again, and just had an outstanding time. I mean, and watching David with, you know, with such a such a, you know, big smile and beautiful ceremony. It was just great.
What made him so great, Pedro, from your front seat, watching him work and arrive on the scene?
I think David had an aura for the big moment. I think David, I don't know if it was, you know, the things that he had to overcome in his career and his life in general that made him so precise and so determined to get things done without fear. A lot of people will probably every once in a while have butterflies in their stomach when the big moment shows up. But it seemed like David not only was able to raise his focus a little bit more in the most difficult situation, but as you saw it, for the marathon bombing, he even shocked me. Someone that really knew him and thought I knew him, but something came out of David that really made him stand out. And that was one of those moments that, to me, you can compare it to one of the biggest moments in baseball or one of the most critical moments in baseball. And I never seem to have enough of, you know, David every time the big moment called for it.
Yeah, I mean, any New York sports fan, Pedro, would say after the 9/11 bombing, Yankee or Met fan, that that Mike Piazza's home run in the first game back to beat the Braves was remarkable. It was huge for the city. It was a huge moment to let everyone know that you can feel normal and be excited and enjoyable again. But that was on the field. What David did was with his mouth and his persona and his essence and his spirit. And what surprised you about that moment where he took to the microphone after the Boston Marathon bombing and said, "This is our effing city in Boston"?
You know what? David was authentically angry. You know, when someone disrespects, you know, a teammate or someone, or something is said the wrong way, or something disrespectful happened, but he didn't really practice for what he was going to say. It just came out of him authentically. And you could see that he was angry. And whether they were the right words or the bleep that he threw out there, I think he meant it so much. And he cared so much at that moment when he did that. And in some ways, it's like it's hard to tell what triggered David so bad that David went out there, took the microphone, didn't improvise anything. He just went out there and said what he felt in his heart. And I think that's the same way he used to play the game. When the moment called for it, he was really ready to take on the moment. And that's what he did that day. And I think that will stand taller than any number that David put up in the postseason, during the regular season, or any other moment here in Boston.
Baseball Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who else from your championship seasons with Boston deserves to be in the hall with you guys now? What do you got me on that front, Pedro?
Eventually we're going to have to see. Because I know some of those guys probably don't have the longevity to probably, you know, expect a Hall of Fame. But Manny has the numbers, but I just don't know because, you know, of how many times Manny was suspended for PEDs. But I have some guys around there with big numbers. But I just don't know that they have the time to actually earn a spot in the Hall of Fame away from Manny Ramirez's numbers.
What about Pedroia? What about Dustin Pedroia, Pedro?
Pee-wee could be borderline. I wish he was healthy for at least 3 more years. I don't know specifically his numbers, but I know he put up some Hall of Fame numbers when he was playing. Now, how long he did it for, it's yet to be seen. But I haven't really analyzed those numbers or, you know, gone deep into that. I know Wakey had the long, long time, enough time to, you know, be considered, but I don't know if the numbers are there.
What about Terry Francona, Pedro? He's been at this quite some time. What do you think
about
him?
And you know what? Not only Terry, but also Theo. I think it's going to be mentioned sooner or later as a Hall of Fame GM. I think Francona deserved it. I think Francona has been around baseball long enough, has good enough numbers to be considered a Hall of Famer. So I wasn't really thinking about anybody else than the players. Mm. But now that you brought it, you know, back into my memory, yes, they I think they are deserving.
Pedro Martinez, Baseball Hall of Famer, MLB Network analyst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little bit about the here and now right now, Pedro. Let's start with the Red Sox. It seems that they don't want to pay Devers in the same manner that they didn't want to pay Mookie Betts. Is that a fair assessment of reading the tea leaves of what Red Sox management is doing to set this team up for the long term?
You know what? I'm involved with the team a lot. I haven't heard that either one has been mentioned.
Okay.
Whether they're going to let him go or sign him or not sign him. I think the Red Sox are just waiting to see how everything evolves and then see who they're going to make the decision for. I think guys like Bogey, JD, and Devers are critical for the team, but at the same time, I think they need a little bit more time. Remember, Hines was brought over to the Red Sox to dump some of the money that we had in salaries. And he did that effectively. Not paying Mookie was something that everybody was hurting for because we knew what Mookie was and how much value he brought to the team. But at the same time, the gap between Mookie and the organization was so far apart that it seemed like there wasn't going to be a deal done because of the gap that was in between what Mookie wanted and what the team was able to give him at that moment, especially without getting rid of some of the money. And it was unfortunate, but we had to let go of Mookie. But these guys, I don't think, are going to be around Mookie, to be honest. Bogey, I don't know. Bogey is a very valuable player. Devers is another very valuable player and young. And Bogey is, if you're going to say one word that describes Bogert, is consistency. And I don't imagine either one in any other uniform but the Red Sox. I hope they keep both of them. And JD has been great, has taken the options to stay in Boston. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I haven't heard that either one is going to be let go or is going to be signed. So I guess we're going to be waiting to see what evolves out of these times that we're going through.
If I had to ask you, Pedro Martinez, I'm going to do it anyway. You got to choose one pitcher to win a must-win game in Major League Baseball today. Who is that pitcher today, Pedro?
Today, a must-win game right now.
Right now. Game 7, you could choose any pitcher in Major League Baseball. You, Pedro Martinez, would choose who to win it?
Right now, I would use Justin Verlander.
Yep.
Justin Verlander, I think, has come out exactly the way he used to be, totally healthy, is in command of everything he wants to do. Right now, he is the guy that will give you a win anytime you ask for it.
He's going to be in that room with that plaque room with you one day. That is a fact.
Oh, believe me.
That is for sure.
I'm expecting him. I'm expecting Max Scherzer.
Yep.
And I'm expecting Clayton Kershaw to join me when they finally, you know, hang the cleats. Those are three guys that I have in the loop as far as the Hall of Fame, especially in the first ballot.
Well, would you take Houston over the Yankees now? And anyone else? I mean, who do you have right now as we're entering deadline day? And obviously Juan Soto could wind up on anybody's team, it seems. Who are you taking right now, Pedro?
Well, right now it seems like it would be unfair to say that you're picking anybody on top of the Yankees with the record they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to first of all say the Yankees first because of the numbers. But Houston is right there with the Yankees. Either team that you pick to win it right now, you're right. I think Houston is as good as the Yankees are, but the Yankees, because of the record, you have to respect that.
Well, if you're the Yankees, do you give up your farm system and maybe a couple of players on your team right now to stick Juan Soto in the lineup? Do you do something like that, middle of the season?
I don't think they need Juan Soto. I don't think they do. They have enough offense. What they would do, what I would do right now is probably make sure I have the strength I need in the pitching rotation and the bullpen. Because everything else, they have proven the entire season that they can hit with anybody in baseball. How they pitch is another story.
Before I let you go, Pedro, the guy that you found the toughest to get out when you were pitching, the guy that you knew when you were on taking the mound, that guy's in the lineup, and you knew you had to bring your A game. Which guy was that?
The toughest guy I ever faced and the most complete player I ever faced. I mean, in all aspects of the game, was Barry Bonds. But at the same time, in the American League, when I came in 98, and I didn't have to face Barry Bonds anymore, the toughest guy I found in the American League to get out, and I got him out, make no mistake about it.
Yes.
I got him out with Edgar Martinez because he will force me to go at least 9 to 10 pitches each at bat on average. And that I hated those. You know, when they're pesky and they bottle you in the strike zone, when you're making big league pitches that will get most of the players out, and they just waste those pitches on you, it's painful. It's painful.
He was unbelievable. He was truly
unbelievable.
I mean, he's in the same plaque room as you right now too, and for good reason. He was one of the best hitters I've ever seen. He wore everybody out. He wore everybody out. Edgar Martinez, man, he was great. Hey Pedro, thank you for the time. Last time we spoke to you was when the All-Star Game was in Washington D.C. I'd love to do this more often. Like I said, I love talking to you, and you make me smarter every time I hear you talk. So thank you for the call.
Well, thank you so much. That's a great compliment, and it will be my pleasure anytime.
Let's do this again. That's Pedro Martinez from MLB Network, and obviously the Hall of Fame right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's check. What do you think, Chris? What do you have to say about Betts and Devers and everything else? I know he's involved with the organization, so he's not going to go all in.
Yeah, he's not going to go all in. I just hope we bring those guys back. I mean, what he said about Heim Bloom is true. He was, you know, kind of was brought in to get the salary down. The Red Sox didn't want to pay luxury tax. They didn't want to be among
that Evaldi,
you know,
contract
top.
Right now is killing him. He's not pitching very well.
Chris Sale too, to be honest. I mean, we haven't got a lot out of him in the last couple of years. But
well, that's not his fault, right? It's unfortunate. He
it's
just
been kind
seems
of some
one
weird
after
stuff,
the other.
Yeah.
He's finally back. He works his way back, and he takes one off his pitching hand.
Yeah. Fluke thing. But
yeah.
You had David Price, and you didn't want to pay Mookie $350 million. I mean, look, I understand that. Really bums me out as a fan. And if Devers and Bogey don't come back, I will be really, really disappointed, and it's going to suck pretty bad.
What about his...
For the sake of what? Just to get down in the bottom 10 or the middle of the pack in payroll? Like, come on. You're the Red Sox.
And what he had to say about other Red Sox from his years.
Yeah, Dustin Pedroia is the one that I would love to see in the Hall of Fame. I love that guy.
He
personified that whole kind of dirt dog era of the team. He just doesn't have the numbers. His injury was, you know, his career
was
cut
good.
Short by injuries. He didn't play really anything the last 2 years. Essentially retired at 33. But the way his career started, what he meant to the team, rookie of the year, MVP, what he meant to the fan base, will never, ever be forgotten. If he could have got over 2,000 hits, I think he might have had an outside case, but he fell short.
And if Francona ever wins one with Cleveland, then he's a lock. A lot.
Yeah, just like I think
he would be a lot. I mean, he has been around a long time. And he broke the curse.
Yep.
And if he wins one for Cleveland too.
Oh man.
Don't forget he was also Michael Jordan's manager in the minors. No, I'm just pointing out how long he's been at it and what a baseball man and lifer he is. And it also helps that people like you when they're voting.
Yep.
And he is one of the most universally loved people. Just ask anybody who worked with him at ESPN.
And I think Pedro's dead on about Theo Epstein. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point. Look, he ended the curse in Boston and Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
He's a professional curse breaker.
It's unbelievable.
And Frank Kona might be too.
Maybe. Maybe. I love Tito. He got a bad rap. He got run out of town, by kind of the people at the
Boston Globe,
who also own part of the team. Yeah, the team owns the Globe. It's like, whatever. He got kind of ran out. The chicken and beer thing kind of was not a cool way to end for him.
But I think Frank Kona deserves merit.
I think so.
You know?
I think so.
All right, we'll take a break. That was TJ's way of saying, let's go to break, because I want to hear from Jerry Jones. This is some great. I've read the soundbite. I have not heard the soundbite. I do believe there's going to be a new drop from this soundbite.
Rich.
Jerry Jones speaking at the opening of Cowboys training camp today. Don't miss that. And your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, when we return. Back here on the Terrestrial Radio Network with our friends at Peacock and Sirius XM 85, the Odyssey app, our podcast listeners. Does this feel like the season's begun?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like that way to you guys? How great is today?
A little bit.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I don't have the patience to jack with anybody today. And you know who doesn't have the patience to jack with anybody today is anybody bringing in the noise to Jerry Jones that he's not fully sold on Mike McCarthy. Nothing more awkward than a vote of confidence being delivered by management in the world of big-time sports with the person who's receiving the vote of confidence sitting right next to the man delivering said vote of confidence. But these are the Dallas Cowboys. And Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. And he addressed the issue of Mike McCarthy's job status being on the line, the seat being hot in the Metroplex. He addressed that very subject with Mike McCarthy right there. I've read the soundbite, haven't heard it yet. It's now time to hear it. Jerry Jones at Cowboys training camp today.
I want to be real clear. He wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. He would not be, and I have choices. And so that's not meant to be insensitive to anybody. That's a fact. And so you guys write about a lot of those choices, and they were there for my use had I wanted them. And no, the guy to my right is who I'm convicted about, have been. We certainly have had things we've addressed, the way we've addressed them in the off season. I think we have successfully put together a staff that really, from this vantage point, gives us absolutely the best chance with our makeup and our team to get to the ultimate success.
Four words, and I have choices. That's what we're going to all hang our head on, and I have choices. He's the one who's here, and I have choices. Two ways to take it.
There's only one way to take
Two
it, really.
Two ways to take it. Two ways to take it. The one way that I know you are taking it, TJ, and the one way the rest of anybody else who doesn't root for the Dallas Cowboys will take it and is taking it.
Yes.
Let me give yours first, TJ, out of respect to you, sir.
I think this would be like a normal person who just takes a man at his word and just...
Stop it. Who are you trying to fool right now? Yourself?
Exactly. I'm not trying to fool anybody.
Here's the way you are taking it. And again, I pay you the respect of starting with your version first.
Okay, but let me just say
your
this.
Approach first.
I don't
your
care
view.
If this was Jerry Jones, Tom Jones, Mr. and Mrs. Jones and me. If I just heard anybody say
Bridget
this
Jones
sentence.
And her diary?
If I just heard anyone say this sentence, I would have the same feeling. So it has nothing to do with Dallas or Jerry. It's just
let me get to it. Let me get to it.
So just went to preface.
And again, I do this out of respect to you.
No,
and you
really don't.
No, I do it out of respect to you because I know you do independent study. Of when course. You're not on the air here.
You know, I'm trying to, like, better myself.
I don't have to put it in a contract. And I have choices, is his way of saying, I could have replaced this man if I didn't have confidence in him, because I'm Jerry Jones. I'm the Dallas Cowboys. I have choices, and I didn't take advantage of those choices because I believe in this man to my right would not be sitting here if I did not feel convicted. That's the way he's saying it, right? Because he had the opportunity to do it if he wanted to do it, and he doesn't want to do it. So everybody pipe down.
There you go.
Because if he wanted to do it, he'd have done it.
Doesn't want to pay.
Right? Right? Isn't that like from The Godfather? Like, Tom Hagen, right? Didn't Sollozzo say that to Tom Hagen? Don't worry, Tom. If I wanted you dead, you'd be dead already.
What were they really thinking?
So that's, you know, that's the Godfather way. Mm-hmm. I'd have been dead if I wanted him.
If you wanted him dead.
If I wanted him fired, he'd have been fired by now. And he's not fired. And I have choices to fire.
Was Sollozzo lying, though?
No, it's true.
Was he lying when he told Tom Hagen
that? If he told Tom Hagen, you'd have been dead by now if I wanted you dead. Yeah, Don't worry about it, Tom. So that's what he's saying.
He didn't turn out like Sonny at the toll booth.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Well, you don't know what happened.
Well, at any rate, and now here's the other way that the rest of the world's going to take it.
Westworld's haters.
Because the choice that Jerry Jones says he has, that he didn't take. Of the choices, plural. One of them's on the staff. That's the issue. One of them's on the staff. Another one's sitting in the Fox studio with a knife and a fork, and Sean Payton's got his napkin tucked into his shirt.
Just waiting.
That's the I have choices. I have choices. One of them's on the staff, including that person who's on the staff, Dan Quinn. What led to, remember Mike McCarthy came on this program and addressed the issue head on? Mm-hmm. Kind enough to call in to address that issue head on of his job status that he said he did talk to Jerry Jones about this because the statement came out from Jones on his own website, DallasCowboys.com, saying that reason why Dan Quinn stuck around. It's not just because he has a chance to win here, but everybody who's on the staff knows if they stick around, they might have an opportunity at the head job. So when he says, and I have choices, and I had choices, he's saying, I'm mentioning that because this guy would have been whacked if I wanted him whacked, and he's not. He's here. And I have choices is also his way of saying,
well,
if he doesn't win, the choices are still there. They're still there. And as a matter of fact, one of them could be elevated at any point in time as an interim. I could do that anytime I want because I have choices. That's the way the rest of the world's going to take it. Because the choice that he can have, one of the choices, is sitting right there in his defensive meeting rooms, running the show. The guy who Micah Parsons came on this program. I'll stir it up a little bit. Micah Parsons, remember Micah? When he was here for Super Bowl week, he ended up sitting in this chair. Was it Super Bowl week or after Super Bowl week?
It was Super Bowl week. Okay.
Remember he wound up sitting in this chair? I asked him about Dan Quinn. Oh, DQ. And he was talking about how those guys talk about life. They talk about this. They talk about that. DQ. And then Mike McCarthy, I don't say much. What?
Yeah, we don't talk much.
That's why we're all talking about it. But as Peter King said earlier this hour, it's really an insignificant story right now because it's all about wins and losses. He goes 7-10, he's out. 8-9, he's out. 10-7, and wins a playoff game, he's still in. He said, and I don't know about that. We're not going to go high register on that. 10-7, win a playoff game. Because 10-7 won't get you to the bye. You're going to be playing that first weekend. So you win your playoff game at home in Dallas. So it's Dallas against, you know what? Because 10-7 might get you 3 seed. Will it get you the 3 seed? I don't know.
No.
Let's just say it gets you the 4 seed.
Okay.
So you beat that plucky five seed team, that tough five seed team that lost out in their division, that team that nobody wants to face. You beat that team, that'll be very good, and then you get bounced in week two. And Sean Payton sitting right there. You could send a little compensation to Mickey Loomis and get him. That's a choice, isn't it?
Mike McCarthy, first coach fired, 5-1.
Let's pay the respect due here. Who is that that said CeeDee Lamb could be as good as anybody in this league and is a matchup problem is going to explode this year? That would be Daniel Jeremiah in hour number one. Dak Prescott is Dak. Zeke is Zeke. You know what I think of Tony Pollard. You know what I think of him.
Mm-hmm.
Micah shows up, takes a step up. Tank Lawrence, still Tank Lawrence. Don't forget the Cowboys have a generationally talented Diggs of their own. Maybe their draft choices blossom, and Mike McCarthy weaves it all together, and the Dallas Cowboys make the NFC Championship game for the first time since T.J. Jefferson was, hold on a minute, let me do the math here, 35 years old.
It was a glorious time.
No, is it 30?
35.
What do you think? Is it 30? 25 years ago.
You just
26 years ago.
What
was it? 25?
He was probably 42.
Wow.
Whoa.
Care to comment?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm just looking at your depth chart right now. Yeah, I stopped paying attention about 3 minutes ago. I'm just really concentrating on
our. You have choices. That's
I have
your choice.
I can choose to listen to this ridiculousness, or I could just follow. I could just study my depth chart.
How is it ridiculous?
And I have choices.
You got your owner.
That statement without the four words "and I have choices" would have really it would have stuck the landing. And I have choices is it's a version. It's a distant cousin of the for now.
Try that about your relationship with your wife. That whole conversation that Jerry Jones just had to make it about your wife.
Yes. Oh.
Hey, if I didn't think she was the one that could lead me to a great, successful
or family's beautiful, if I didn't think she was the right one for me.
But I had choices.
Then clearly I wouldn't be with her.
But I have choices.
And I have choices. Mm-mm.
What?
Mm-mm.
I find it amazing. Mm-hmm. Like we listen
to this here on Friday.
It doesn't fly.
Should I just roll that one out
you
Friday?
Try it.
And just what she said in your chair Friday?
See how it goes.
And I have choices. I have choices.
And I have choices.
You know what? I think you are the right one for me for now. If I had to get married today,
yep.
If I you're my choice for now.
Right.
TJ?
You know, I love that. We listen to Bill Belichick mumble through like a 2-minute thing, which I still don't know what he said. And you're talking about we're throwing manhole covers on it. And like it was the greatest.
He never
first of all,
talks
I don't even know what that means
that
when you said that twice. What does it even mean? And
what,
I'm pretty smart.
Cover?
So I got to believe that there's other people out there listening and have no idea what that meant. But then we come to Jerry and he says
about?
One thing and, it, you know.
What are you talking about? Have you never heard the phrase thrown around like manhole covers? You never heard that phrase before?
Yeah, you said it twice.
Well, it's an East Coast phrase.
Yeah, it's definitely not, because I would have heard of it. You know?
When you throw around compliments like manhole covers means you don't give out compliments, because it's tough to throw around a manhole cover.
I mean, you guys are saying it like that's a well-known phrase. I know well-known phrases, and I've never heard that.
No, manhole covers are what are in city streets.
Yeah, I've seen those.
That cover up
holes.
The sewers that go underneath. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still trying to draw a like.
Look, we have choices about which phrases we choose to use when we're having a discussion about this.
Like Black Sheep,
use better choices
than
I would say.
New drop, and I have choices.
And I have choices.
Gotta get it.
We got that.
And Brockman, I'll bet you $1,000 McCarthy's not the first coach fired.
I would agree with that.
I agree too.
Come on,
I'd agree
that's
with
ridiculous.
That.
We're not going to fire Mike McCarthy first.
I agree with that.
Why? You don't know why? Because Jerry doesn't want to pay him.
No,
that's why he's not going to fire him.
Excuse me, Jerry doesn't.
He should have fired Jason Garrett like four different times and didn't.
Because, and guess what, Chris? That's exactly why McCarthy's not going to get fired
exactly.
At the beginning of the season.
True story.
He's not. It's not going to happen.
We're not
going to be 1-6. You guys are ridiculous.
Because Jerry bounced.
Where's your schedule again?
Because Jerry bounced.
Where's the Dallas schedule?
Jimmy for Barry. Mm-hmm. That has stuck with Jerry forever, that he's a guy who is impetuously firing people who could win for him. And then he goes to Chan Gailey and Campo, and he had to churn those coaches because they weren't the right ones. Parcells is the one who stopped that carousel. And then Garrett strolled in after.
I mean,
Garrett son of bum, you know.
Garrett
so
can get fired every
and he
year.
Didn't want to fire Wade Phillips at all. No. He stuck with him way longer until they did start 1-6, and that's when Garrett had it for a decade.
The Cowboys could legit start 1-5.
No, they're not. Ooh. Hold on a minute. Put up their schedule. Let's do this real quick. And then we'll throw it a break because Kyle Shanahan has spoken on Trey Lance. That's going to be great.
The Cowboys could legit start 1-5.
Here we go. Dallas, Tampa, Cincinnati, Giants, Washington. Ah, come on, man.
You don't think they could start 1-5?
Okay, well, Chris, a meteor could hit the earth right now. So, you know, if that's where we're going by the
guess what? You're 0-2, and then you got a huge game at Giants.
No, well, how about this?
We lost to Tampa Bay because our kicker missed an extra point.
They got Detroit and Chicago in week 7 and 8 before their bye. I think they could start off well, actually, because don't forget, you could sit here and say Tom Brady's coming in and that's a loss. They damn near beat Brady when they put a banner up in the stadium to kick off last season.
Great.
Dak
you
had
got,
an incredible game against
them. You got Tampa
him.
And Cincy. You got two division games. And then you got Rams and Eagles on the road. They could be 1-5.
That's not happening. I'll take that.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
I'll take that.
Oh, 1-5, 2-4.
I got you.
Bachman, I'm with you on that one.
And I have choices. I choose to have your back on that.
I'd rather no one have my back. I'm on this by myself. I'm on this island, all right? Just call me Tyron Smith, and I'm going to hold everybody off back here in the corner. I don't need you on my back.
He's putting up walls. He wants, actually, that's his way of saying he's doing independent study right now.
Well, I am. I told you I was independently studying our depth chart.
Independent study.
What's more likely?
All right, let's take a break. Kyle Shanahan has spoken on the Trey Lance issue. Is it his team or not? We're back on the Rich Eisen Show.
The choice is yours.
You can get with this.
Welcome to the Seth Eisen Show.
Not great.
It's not great. Seth Eisen. You could just refer to us by our regular names.
What up, Seth?
Shaquille Leonard. That's what Darius Leonard wants to be known as.
What up, Alan?
Okay.
What?
It's my favorite thing in the world. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Gelato?
No, there's that. I understand. Guys, stop guessing.
Okay.
I'll tell you. I'm just going to walk through the front door. That's why I've been living. That's why I've been living life for the last couple of years.
I got this.
It's me hosting this show
and being right.
Being right. Not just being right, but being right all along. All along, all this time being right.
I mean, you don't get credit for this one.
I sure do.
Because it was obvious. If you had two eyes.
Who was telling you who the 49ers were picking third overall before they did it? I said it was going to be Trey Lance, and what was it? Yes, sir.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, look it up.
What year was this?
You said this 2 years ago?
Yes,
2020? I did. Nothing counts that happened in 2020,
I said it. Trust me. I said, I feel it's Trey Lance. It's going to be Trey Lance, and it was. Yes, sir.
I was pretty sure you said Mac Jones.
That was the come at me mock draft. First one ever. Look it up. You can. You've got something called Google.
No, that's not how tape works, right?
And I said this year, they're moving on from Jimmy this year. It's Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy G's still on the team, though. He's still on the team. They've got to be there for a reason. Maybe Jimmy's going to be there, and he's going to be the guy. I mean, he's got to be just in case Trey Lance falters. We can't have Trey Lance falter. 49ers almost made the Super Bowl last year. They can't afford to have Trey Lance falter. And I said, that's what comes with starting an inexperienced quarterback after you trade everything to go get him. You're going to eventually have to live and die with his ups and downs. And maybe there'll be more ups than downs because, yes, they had the opportunity to start Jimmy G last year. Do not pay attention to any of that. This is Trey Lance's team. How many times have I said on this show, this is Trey Lance's team?
13, maybe?
A million.
Oh.
Give or take.
So many.
Give or take. Today, Kyle Shanahan at the opening of 49ers training camp said this about Trey Lance. Roll it.
You know, Jimmy understands where we're at. We understand where we're at. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I have been of Jimmy and him being here, and so appreciative of what he did for us last year. I think Jimmy and we knew what move we made the year before on that. Jimmy did a hell of a job coming to camp and winning that job and taking us real close to the Super Bowl. But we have moved on to Trey. We're starting camp out this way. We think Jimmy would have been traded if the surgery didn't happen. And it did. He needed to do it, so there's no ill will there at all. But it's good to see that he is healthy. But now it's all just seeing how this will end up.
Later on, he said the words, "It's Trey's team." I rest my case. I don't know what the case is, but all I'm saying...
Oh, you mean the guy that they traded all the picks for and then sat him for a year to let him work? It's going to be his team?
Stop it.
Obvious.
You are in revision.
Hey, Sky, Blue.
You are in revisionism right now because you have been the one saying...
No,
she's still around.
I have been wondering what makes you think this guy's going to be so good when nobody has seen him play.
Well, then, because I trust in that guy. By the way, his head of hair gets better.
It's better.
He's letting it go a little gray, too. I think, Kyle, so great choices. Your choices are great.
I'm trying to find
him. And he has choices, you know?
Are you looking?
I can't find it.
He has choices. Chris, you know I don't wake up here every day and claim to say something that tries to make me look good. Many different ways to prove that. You could stop your search. I remember what I said and when I said it. Go ahead and Google Rich Eisen Trey Lance draft. Just go ahead and Google it.
Don't tell me what to Google.
Damn straight. It's Trey Lance's team, people. I knew it all along. It was coming. Period. End of story. Now about Debo. I've been saying all along he's not going anywhere. This is what John Lynch had to say about the Debo front. He is in camp, by the way, on this front, that he's there. Trey Lance, it's his team. Debo is going to be there. He's there. And John Lynch spoke on that front. Do we have that soundbite? Okay, here we go.
You know, we've had really... productive and substantive talks. I don't want to get everyone all excited that something's imminent because we're not there yet, but really hopeful that in the near future we'll be able to announce something that's exciting for everyone involved. And so that's good. Debo's here today, and we're excited about moving forward with him as part of this team.
Okay. It's going to happen, people. I can't wait. Week one, Chicago, Illinois. The Bears are going to... Is that the day the Bears are wearing their orange uniforms and stuff like that? I don't know.
That orange piece.
5 breaks the huddle, 19 breaks it with them. Here we go. Debo's getting done. I mean, he's there at the camp, right? They're not moving their camp to Carolina, so... This thing's getting done. Niners are going to have Lance. Let's roll. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for all you 49er fans because we're going to see something unwrapped that I think is going to be special. Are you still tracking down whether I was right or wrong my claim right there, Chris?
He's looking.
What you're doing?
He's looking.
Are you deep in thought?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Okay. It's there. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time.
Yeah, Chris, don't even bother looking. Take his word for it. It's there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's terrible at Googling. I could literally find it while hosting the show in 2 seconds flat.
But you can't. I mean, 1001,
Google
1002, 1003.
I was looking for the graphic on our video. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So you can see it in
the April 22nd, 2021. Here it is on NBC Sports. I'm hearing it's Trey Lance, Eisen said Wednesday on the Rich Eisen Show. That's what I'm hearing right now. I'm hearing the kid is supremely talented physically.
Yeah,
neck upstart and also wants to learn.
That's just you relaying something that you heard through the grapevine.
That's just you saying, hey, I'm hearing
Actually, you wrote on the 21st of April, since I'm sure you posted this Twitter feed, just 8 days from the start of the NFL draft, Rich Eisen is now hearing this guy is who the 49ers are targeting, third overall.
Hearing,
oh, baby.
That's not you predicting that he's going to be the third
pick. That's what you wrote, oh baby.
You know what prediction means.
And you actually tagged NDSU football, which is the North Dakota State football. You are the one who actually posted it, Chris.
But do you know what predicting and calling it means?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't understand.
I mean, there's a difference.
My success
looks better on us.
His success. Yeah, but his success equals my success. So I don't understand.
You made it seem as though you reached into a grab bag and pulled a thought out and shared it. But judging, I have no dog in you and Brockman's fight, but just judging from that, it seems as though you were just relaying info that you'd heard through the grapevine.
I said it was going to be him, is what I said.
But you didn't say you.
You said you heard it was going to be him.
Chris, I mean, what are they going to absolutely guarantee 8 days before? And Shanahan's the one who said he wouldn't even tell anybody in the building? It's the same thing. I was on it.
It's not the same.
Well, Nostradamus would beg to differ.
I have been saying for months, this is Lance's team, and it now is. And it's great. And I'm right. And I don't care who says I wasn't, because I have choices, and you better independently study my forethought and knowledge on football. That's part of your homework tonight, Chris.
By the way, where are these Rich Eisen issued pad iPads? Because I don't got one of these. I can't independently study without the proper tools and technology.
Tablets.
I ain't got no tablet. How are we supposed to study?
Well, I'm a Jew, which means I had two one day with ten commandments on it.
And in history of the world, you had three.
I just compared myself to Moses.
Eisen.
I did.
Moses.
Because I've got a great tan, and I've got a great hat, and I know my football.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.